What's up, Cubs fans? Welcome to the Locked On Cubs podcast, part of the Locked On Sports Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 on your next order. Now, everybody, you might be thinking to yourself, I don't recognize this voice. Well, that's because I am the new host of the Locked On Cubs podcast. My name is Joe Kilgallen. I am a stand-up comedian and a diehard, and I do mean diehard true blue Cubs fan. Before I get to start introducing myself to you, the listener, I have to thank the previous hosts, Sean Sears and Ryan Davis, for doing a great job starting Locked On Cubs. I couldn't be here without their contributions. So a big thanks to those two gentlemen. Now, a little bit about me, everybody, before we start talking about the things we need to talk about with our beloved Cubs. And I'm excited to be giving you Cubs content 5 times a week, maybe 6, 7 times, because I'm obsessive like that. I will neglect family just for you, everybody. I'm slightly kidding, of course. Maybe we all know how us Cubs fans are. Today's episode, we will be talking about the Cubs taking 2 out of 3 from the Detroit Tigers. The offense being way more enjoyable to watch over the last 7 to 10 games. And the return of a couple old friends coming up at Wrigley Field in this next series against the Washington Nationals. Those Washington Nationals and their Walgreens logo baseball hats. We'll be talking about all of that. But since it is my first episode with you, I figured I'd give you a little bit about me. I'm a comedian, born and raised in Chicago, lived here my whole life, but for 3 years. Lived in LA briefly, doing a little business out there, but had to come home. Had to come home to this great city of ours, and it is a great city. And I've been an obsessive Cubs fan since I could remember. I think I had Andre Dawson pajamas. I'm in my mid-30s, if that's what you're wondering. Like, oh, how old is this guy if he's got Andre Dawson pajamas? I'll tell you my age. I'm not shy about it. I'm 36 years old. I have a wife, a couple sons, 4 and 2, a little too young to be where I was. Because I think my obsession began, I'll give you this little tidbit, and then, of course, we'll be sharing great Cubs moments and personal connections to the Chicago Cubs throughout the course of you guys getting to know me. In this next 140 games are left, I believe. No, what am I saying? 120-something games? What are we? We're 19 and 20. Hey, everyone, it's my first episode, and math is not my strong suit. You're not listening to this podcast for math. But for the next 5 months of the season, we'll be coming up with some fun stuff. We're going to have some fun segments for you, some really cool stuff. But my earliest moment as a Cubs fan, I'm going to share with you right now. Now, that was on my 5th birthday. My father took me to the palace that is Wrigley Field, the friendly confines. And it was like out of a movie. It really was. I was enthralled the second we approached the stadium. I believe we drove, and back then parking wasn't as hard to come by. This was 1989. And the Cubs were very good though that year. They were about a couple days from clinching a playoff spot in 1989. They're about to become NL East champions. That's right for you young fans. The Cubs used to be in the NL East before the Central was added as a division. What stuck out to me was not the result of the game, which I, of course, as a 5-year-old could not remember, although my man Andre Dawson did go deep. It was the fact that I discovered on that day that I was afraid of heights at the age of 5, because we had upper deck tickets, and as we were going up the ramp, I looked out and I saw, I'm like, Dad, look, McDonald's. And then I realized, which is no longer there, I then realized, oh my gosh, I am taller, or we're not taller, but we're higher up, I should say, than the McDonald's sign. Because when you're a little kid, those golden arches that stick out on the street that you see from, you know, half a mile away or maybe a mile away, that might as well have been the Sears Tower. And yes, I'm one of the Chicagoans that calls it the Sears Tower still. I always will. And I'll always call whatever corporate name, the White Sox Park, it's going to be Comiskey still. I'll refer to it as that. I'm letting you guys know right now. And if you locked on White Sox fans checking this out, which, by the way, I love Herb Lawrence, Chris Tannehill, great guys over there. But I'm not calling it whatever cookie cutter new corporate flavor of the week you guys are calling your stadium. It's Comiskey and it's the Sears Tower. I'm letting you all know right now that's the type of host you're going to get from me. I hope you're cool with that. Now, finding out you're afraid of heights is a crazy thing. But again, it'll always stick with my mind that I'm not as bad anymore. I'm a little bit over my fear of heights. Still don't love them. Who loves being up high? Some people do. You guys are cooler than me, I suppose. But I thought being 5 was a cool age. Now that I'm an adult, So again, I have a 4-year-old son. Who knows? Maybe at the end of this year, I'll take him to a game because he'll turn 5 in the off season. But I think 5's a good age. Now, if you parents out there were like, I took my kid when I was 2, that's fine. Good for you. I'm not knocking you for doing that. But be honest, that was more for you than it was for them because they were 2. They can't remember the game. I think it's cool that I remember my first Cubs game. I've got friends who are like, you've been taking your kids to a Cubs game? They're shocked. They're like, Joe, you're like the most diehard, crazy, obsessive Cubs fan we know. And you haven't taken either of your wee lads to a Cubs game? You haven't taken them to Wrigley? What? And I'm like, yeah, because I want them to remember it. It's as big a moment as for me. It's a huge moment for any human being to walk through the turnstiles at 1060 West Addison. They should be able to remember that too. I'm not going to take that moment from them. It's for both of us. But you parents who are taking 1-year-olds to Cubs games, you know you're doing it for Instagram. You're doing it for Instagram likes. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to us. All right, we got some great stuff to talk about for you. Thank you so much for checking out Locked On Cubs. I am very, very excited to be in your ear because we're going to have a great time. That's what it's about because it's baseball and it's the Chicago Cubs. The Cubs are 19-20 on the season, as I alluded to. Taking 2-3 from the Tigers. Now, I'm very pleased with that result. A sweep would have been great, of course. I really was hoping for the sweep, and I'll talk about Saturday's loss in a little bit more detail coming up in a second here. Because it was a game they should have won, quite frankly. Pitching let them down, but the offense was good overall. Now, Kyle Hendricks was fantastic today on the mound. Pitching deep into the ball game, 8-plus innings, only 1 earned run. Winkler comes in, takes care of business. Cubs win 5-1. Ian Happ looked great at the plate. He is now back. There's some encouraging things now. Nico Horner just came back. Ian Happ is back. Pieces are coming together. And there seems to be enough on this roster where I believe the talent is still there to win the NL Central. They might have to shuffle some stuff on the pitching side of things, and I'll get to that momentarily. I'm already doing a bunch of teases here for you guys. I'll talk about Saturday's loss, which has to do with the pitching rotation, so that comes hand in hand. But today's game was a nice one. Anthony Rizzo drove in a couple runs. He's been looking a lot better at the plate. Matt Duffy continues to just give you professional at-bats. That's what Matt Duffy brings you. He is a pro. Now, what do we mean by professional at-bats? We mean he's not going to go up there hacking at 3 straight sliders in the next batter's box. He is going to make the pitcher work. And that's what you love to see. And that's what this lineup has been missing over really the last couple seasons since Ben Zobrist basically retired. Now, it's good to have role players like Matt Duffy. Because if every player, and that's the thing too I've noticed about the Cubs lineup, you got a lot of all-stars. Maybe they haven't all been all-stars at the same time, but they all have that I'm an all-star mentality. I am an all-star, which you love, but it kind of creates a boom or bust offense. This is part of it. A lot of people have been trying to figure out the conundrum of the offense. Why do they score 12 runs one game and then go 2 games without, you know, a loud foul ball? What is that about? I really think a lot of it is a mentality thing. Because when you have guys like Wilson Contreras, Javi Baez, Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, those are 4 players they just named who have appeared in multiple All-Star games. 4 players they just named who have all started an All-Star game. You throw in Ian Happ, who's a first-round pick, who probably should have been an All-Star in 2020 had there been a game, if there was a midway point in a 60-game season, which is crazy to say. He would have been there. Jason Hayward, the right fielder. I know, he hasn't lived up to that contract, but he has been an All-Star in the past. So when you have guys who think I'm an all-star when they're in that batter's box, which I suppose you'd want every hitter believing in themselves like that, but they kind of, when things are going bad, they do too much. Baseball is one of those sports where the worst thing you could do is overthink because it's such a mental game. What's that famous line from the movie Bull Durham? Don't think too much. You could only hurt the ball club. Kevin Costner, great movie. Check it out if you haven't already. Now, where Matt Duffy comes into this equation is he knows his role. Sure, he came up runner-up in the Rookie of the Year voting in 2015 just behind Chris Bryant, but his career didn't turn out to be one of a bona fide superstar like maybe he had believed, and I believe he's accepted that role. He signed a 1-year, $1 million contract to play for the Cubs. Wasn't even guaranteed a spot. They could have cut him and washed their hands of it. And he really didn't light it up in the spring. but he showed enough to manager David Ross, who this was a great pick by having Matt Duffy on the roster. That was David Ross's call. He showed enough in the spring to say, I need this guy. I like what he could play first, third, maybe a little outfield in the pinch, but it's a quality of at bat. And I think that's like contagious. For the gamblers out there, I'm sure you've heard this in other sports. Like I know in the NBA, if a team makes a trade where they add a guy who's like a defensive-minded player, defense is contagious. You see a guy diving for loose balls, other players start to jump on board with that philosophy. Matt Duffy, since he started getting regular playing time, has really had an impact on the rest of the team. You don't see them chasing as many dumb pitches before and you know, getting themselves out. And I think he has really set that tone. And I like him batting fifth or sixth. I know they had him leading off one time, and people have been like, could we have him setting the table because he's got a high on base percentage? I'm not into it. Because I want him up with a runner on third and one out. A spot where the Cubs have been atrocious over the last few seasons. Now, look, I'm a positive Cubs fan. I believe in morale and vibes. I'm a big fan of Dom Frederick on Twitter. So, look, I like to try to enjoy the ride as much as possible and be positive. But we also need to be honest with ourselves. The Cubs are allergic to RBI situations over the last few years. The numbers with runners in scoring position are really sad. Like if you read them in a book, you'd be like, I need to put this book down and think about life because this is depressing. I can't even, you know? So that's why Matt Duffy, a guy who, yeah, sacrifice flies. They might not be sexy, but they get the job done. Runners are coming home, scoring. Like that's what it matters. Just get the runs in. I like that they're manufacturing more runs lately. And I think a lot of that goes to Matt Duffy. And it's better for us as fans because there's so many question marks about the Cubs' future, what the rest of the season may bring. Right now, they're three games back, 19-20, third place in the NL Central. The Cardinals have been playing terribly lately. They're at the 500 mark right now. Or no, the Brewers, I should say. So this is a winnable division, is my point. And I know they've been frustrating at times, and the pitching is something I'm going to tackle in just a minute or two here. But first, let's talk stonks, memes, rocket ships. Day trading can be a lot of fun, but if you want to grow your long-term wealth and truly make it to the moon, you should open up a Wealthfront investment account today. Now, there is decades of data that show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds are not in your favor. So why do it alone? Team up with Wealthfront instead. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets. $20 billion, that's like all the Major League Baseball teams worth put together. And that's what Wealthfront is trusted with. And you could get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. To get your first $5,000 managed for free, you're going to want to go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. This app is free to download, and once you're in, you could talk with the fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. You're going to want to check it out. You could find Locked On hosts on there. That's right. The beloved hosts of the Locked On Sports Networks are on there. NBA, MLB, and NHL. Currently, I'll be joining the app soon. So be sure to get started, and I will meet you there. Go download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. That's iPhones, everyone. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join all the fun. Now let's talk pitching. The bullpen has got a lot of bright spots to it, and there's still a little tinkering going on right now. Kimbrel has been elite. He has been absolutely elite. And I know there's going to be trade talks this year, unless the Cubs really pull away with this division. But if they're going to keep, you know, flirting with the 500 mark like they've been doing and being within a few games of first place, it's going to make for an interesting mid-June. I think that's when you're really going to start to hear about it. I know June is, you know, a few weeks away, but I really think mid-June is when the trade rumors will start to really ramp up. And I'm really hoping that the Cubs are going to make it hard on the front office. And I really hope that they even put them to the point where it's like, hey, maybe we should be buying and not selling. Because Kimbrel has been one of the best closers in baseball. On Friday, he struck out the side for the 38th time in his career, an MLB record, 38th time, going 1-2-3, making all the batters look foolish, just striking them out in order. And then Saturday he comes out, and let's talk about Saturday's game. The offense looked great. I mentioned Matt Duffy earlier. He was the hero of that game. Drove in a run with a double, three-run homer to give us the 7-6 lead. Then he gets the base hit to give us the lead in extra innings. Tigers come up on the bottom half. And we all know the extra inning rule now. Runner starts at second, which is such a bad position to be in as a pitcher because it really puts the strikeout in play, which is why it's nice to have a guy like Kimbrel at the end. And it'd be nice if, you know, we start to use guys like Justin Steele more toward later in the games when strikeouts really, really are important to winning the ball game, especially because the Cubs have been playing an insane amount of one-run games lately. Something like 7 of the last 8 have been one-run games. And Craig looked fine. The mistake that I believe the Cubs made was with the shift. Now, I don't know who's in charge of that. I think there's maybe it's a front office thing. There's game planning. There's different guys who go over strategy before with each hitter. Kimbrel, though, has been throwing upper 90s with ride, lots of movement. And I just thought that overshifting the way they did, having three infielders on the right side of second base, the first base side of second base, was a mistake. Because of course, in that moment, he's late on the fastball, hits a weak little chopper to where the shortstop should have been for an easy out. It cost the Cubs right there. It cost us. And then they end up losing the game, of course. And I know it's one of those things where I'm like, how much do I despise this extra inning rule? That's something we should really, really dive into. I was talking about a friend of mine. He says, play regular baseball till the 12th, and then after the 12th, they could go to that rule. There could be the fun little compromise. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'm fine with that. I'm hoping this was pandemic related. It made sense last year while they were doing that because the idea was that they couldn't just keep sending pitchers back and forth, and they were just trying to smooth things over with a 60-game season. They were worried about injuries even more so. They were worried about COVID testing and all sorts of things like that. I got it for a 60-game season. And even this year, I still understand it. But going forward, that's going to be something that's going to be really talked about with the CBA coming up, with negotiations between the owners and the union. I wonder if that rule is here to stick. Because when the Cubs win, I'm like, it's not a bad rule. I kind of like this rule. We won the game. That wasn't so bad. A couple ground balls and touch home plate and everyone dances. Wonderful. But then when it stings us, I'm like, this is an abomination. Who came up? Who needs to get fired? Who's ruining baseball right now? Is it you, Robbie Manfred? Huh? Enough. How much does this guy despise the game he's the commissioner of? Stop ruining it. Gets you angry. Now, Kendricks' start today, Sunday, everyone. I'm recording this late Sunday night. You're listening to it on Monday. I'm going to have to get in the habit of that. Was great. It's what we've been looking for. Now, I believe he's been turning the corner. He's notoriously never been a very good April pitcher. I don't know why that is. Maybe it's something with the cold weather, gripping his pitches. He relies on a lot of finesse, so the grips have got to be there. If his pinky's off a little bit, it's a home run. That's how I think it is with these guys who have fastballs who barely break glass. You know, those 88-mile-an-hour guys, which the Cubs seem to have a fair share of. Zach Davies has looked stronger of late. Hendricks has looked stronger of late. Jake Arrieta came back Friday and gave you 6 innings of 2 earned, and that's what you want out of Jake. Jake, to me, is a pitcher now who knows he's not the guy he was 5 seasons ago. But he's smart. He's crafty. He knows not to waste time with bad hitters. That's what I've always liked about veteran pitchers who aren't as good as they used to be. They come up there and they go, what is this? Some number 7 hitter who I've never heard of? All right, sit down. I'm taking care of you right now. I'm not going to get too cute with you. They're not going to walk a guy who, at the worst case scenario, is going to hit a single off you. That's always something that would drive me nuts. It's like you just walked a guy who, even if he has his best at bat, the outcome is a single. Don't do that. Relief pitchers always have a knack for doing that. Coming in, they're overly hyped up. They're overly pumped up, I should say. And they just throw 4 bad ones to some scrub you've never heard of. Jake's not going to do that. He's going to have a start every so often where he gives up 5 or 6 in a short amount of time. But for the most part, I'm expecting quality starts out of Jake, which is what we've basically received from Arrieta in all of his starts but one. So it's very, very encouraging to see. Now, odd man out, because Adbert Alzolay, AA, Pocket Aces. He needs a nickname, I feel like. I don't know if Pocket Aces is going to be the one. Maybe you guys could all come up with one together. You could tweet at Lockdown Cubs. And I'll read some of the good ones. Let's make that our mission, to come up with a fun nickname for Adbert, because he is a fun pitcher. He's got nasty stuff. That's what you really look for out of a young pitcher, because they're going to have their moments again because they're young. He's a rookie. This is really, he made a couple of starts last year and made maybe like one or two appearances in 2019, but this is really his rookie season. And what you look for is how bad do they make good hitters look? And he had consecutive starts against the Atlanta Braves and the LA Dodgers, the two teams that met in the National League Championship Series last season, in which he had their best hitters looking bad. Freddie Freeman, reigning MVP, just looked like he didn't know what sport he was playing. Like, he had a swing where it's like, dude, does a parent need to come behind you and hold the bat and carry the swing, just knock my microphone over, and carry the swing through with you? That's how ugly his swing looked. Acuna, one of the best players in baseball, didn't know what he was doing in the box against Adbert. Next game, struck out Mookie Betts twice. Mookie Betts is elite when it comes to contact rate. He's one of the harder guys to strike on all of baseball over the course of Mookie Betts' career. Adbert had him looking dumb. He did look like a dumb guy. Like, he walked out of there going like, I thought I was a smart baseball player, but apparently I'm not. Fun fact about Mookie Betts, he was drafted by the Boston Red Sox in 2011 in the fifth round, the last draft of Theo Epstein in Boston. Every now and then you'll hear some fans be like, oh, Theo left Boston in bad shape. He 100% did not. He didn't. There was two free agent contracts that didn't work out, but at the time, everybody wanted those players. Everybody wanted Carl Crawford. Sorry, I'm going a little trip down memory lane. I won't deal with Theo slander. Is he perfect? No, of course not. But there's some weird narratives that I think a lot of sports writers push, that if you actually take a step back and look at them, you're like, well, that's not true at all. His last draft, he drafted Mookie Betts in the fifth round and Jackie Bradley Jr. in the second round. It was a great draft. And then they won the World Series in 2013, the Red Sox, with a roster that was 20 of the 25 guys were Theo guys. So I don't understand that narrative. And I think Theo left us in a better position than we even believe as Cubs fans, even with all the one-year contracts coming up, pending free agency. And we got to extend Chris Bryant. We've got to extend Anthony Rizzo. I'll get more and more into that as the season progresses with you all. I'm teasing you guys about what you could expect to come from me. It's going to be a lot of fun stuff. A lot of fun stuff. I want to hear from you. I want to hear about your favorite piece of Cubs memorabilia and how you got it. Fun stuff like that. Behind me is a Chris Bryant cardboard cutout that my mom said she got at a bar. I think she stole it. I'll be honest. I think my mom stole it from this bar, because when she told me about it, her boyfriend was like, I don't think we could go back to that bar. That's all he said. My mom gave him a look like, shut up. And I'm like, do you steal this from the bar? Good catch. You know, good swipe. They get these for free, most of these bars. They give them free cardboard cutouts. So I'm not encouraging stealing, but it's not a bad one to make your son happy. Okay? It was a good situation for me. So I want to hear from you guys and all sorts of cool stuff like that. All right, we're going to have some fun on this podcast. And you guys could have fun on Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet all your sports action. Baseball season is underway. Cubs fans, we all know that. You want to go to Bet Online because they got the latest news. They got all the odds, all the info on all your sports needs. Not just MLB, they've got NBA, NHL, and UFC, everyone. So before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device. You got to do it. And we have a promo code for you. You know we do. Type in Locked On, all one word, all caps, Locked On, for that promo code. Bet Online, your online sports experts. Now, I like to fancy myself an expert on all things Cubs, especially this last 5 or 6 years of Cubs baseball. And I got to tell you, it's going to be pretty bittersweet, the Monday night game, because the Cubs are taking on the Washington Nationals these next 3 days at Wrigley Field. All night game, 6:40 start. By the way, big fan of the 6:40 start. I don't know if you listening have had a chance to go to a 6:40 game, but it's pretty nice because the game ends and you look at the clock and you're like, you know what? I do have time to go to the bar for a beer. Yeah, you know what? Because before, with that 7:05 start, it's like, it's getting a little late. I'm not really sure, but 6:40. Whole new ball game when planning out your evening. So the Washington Nationals are coming to town. I'll repeat that because I think there was a little feedback. I apologize, everyone listening. The Washington Nationals are coming into town, and John Lester will take the bump at Wrigley Field, a place he called home over the last six seasons. Now, what I want to do now is tell you my favorite John Lester moment as a Cub and my favorite Kyle Schwarber moment as a Cub, because Kyle Schwarber also is a Washington National. He was not tendered by the Cubs in the offseason. So we all know the Cubs were doing a lot of payroll slashing because of biblical losses claimed by ownership during the pandemic. I'm not denying they lost money. Everyone lost money during the pandemic. But let's focus. I'll focus on that. We'll get to all sorts of fun stuff like that. Again, it's my first episode, and I feel like I want to do a three-hour podcast with you, but that's not what Lockdown's famous for. We're giving you a half-hour podcast every day. Favorite John Lester moment is simply him signing with the Cubs. I know there were so many great pitching performances. There was funny stuff. There was him scoring or bunting in a game-winning run against the Seattle Mariners in that crazy game in 2016 that was on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. Remember that one? Laying down a perfect bunt. Jason Hayward slides in. There was post-game interviews where he was dropping F-bombs and just being hilarious. The man wanted to be here. But the business of baseball could break your heart sometimes as a fan. Both he and Kyle wanted to be here. But we know, we had to be honest as fans, that there needed to be some kind of shuffling. And it really, just what kills us the most is there was no send-off. Because he could have had his last start last year at Wrigley. He could have walked off the mound to everyone, given him the standing ovation that he deserved, being the greatest free agent signing in Chicago Cubs history, John Lester. Which is why my favorite moment is just him holding up that jersey at that press conference. I know him holding up the World Series trophy and the way he pitched, he dominated that entire playoff run, was something special. Finishing top three in Cy Young voting. Something special, but just him making the move to come to the Cubs and shoving it in the faces of all the haters. Do you guys recall? There was that famous meme that came out all over social media the day after Lester signed with the Cubs, late in 2014, because it was December-ish of 2014, I believe. I don't know the exact date, so don't hate me if I'm wrong. And the meme said, it was a picture of John, and it was just him being like, I signed with the Cubs because I was promised October's off. And then you were supposed to be like, ha, 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 ha. Like, just, it's a lame joke. And it was from people who clearly weren't paying attention because the Cubs were on their way. And that's why the Lester signing was so important. It's such a big, big monumental, just in the history of the franchise. It turned around so much. It changed the culture in so many ways. As much as the impact Theo had coming here, changing the culture, and Joe Maddon, it really was something about Lester signing on that dotted line. Because guess what? He wasn't getting October's off. In his six seasons, the Cubs made five postseason appearances. And how dumb. If you're the creator of that meme, you should feel shame. I hope it affected personal relationships. I hope people around you were like, you feel good about that meme? Because man, you were wrong. Maybe you shouldn't make memes anymore. You should be canceled from meme creation. That's how stupid you looked making that meme. Sorry, I'm still fired up about it. The Cubs were rebuilding. We all know 2012, 2013, 2014, those were rough seasons. So 2015, we knew the kids were coming. We knew Chris Bryant was going to make his debut in 2015. Addison Russell was going to show up. We know things didn't go well there, but overall, initially, pretty good. But yeah. Anthony Rizzo was establishing himself as an all-star first baseman and a leader. We still had Castro. We made great trades in that offseason, bringing in Dexter Fowler, bringing in Miguel Montero, signing back Jason Hamill, who we had traded with Samardzija to help get Addison Russell. Signing Lester was saying, hey, we now have an ace at the top of this rotation to join Jake Arrieta and Kyle Hendricks, who were both fantastic in 2014. It was just this announcing of we have arrived. And that's why the Lester signing will always be such a huge moment in Cubs history. Now, my favorite Kyle Schwarber moment, also in that same season, that 2015 season, Schwarber came up. He was only drafted in 2014, but just destroyed minor league pitching. So it comes up way quicker than anyone had thought. Never even had really a full year in the minors before he came up to the show and started doing damage. He just felt like a guy who rose to the occasion, was a monster throughout the 2015 playoffs. I encourage everyone, go on YouTube and watch Kyle Schwarber's 2015 playoff home runs. He hit six of them off some of the most famous pitchers in baseball today. Took a high fastball off Jacob DeGrom, deposited into the seats. So my favorite home run, and this is still my favorite home run of all time, and it's not the one you're probably thinking. It's not Kyle Schwarber hitting the ball over the Budweiser sign, over the right field scoreboard against the Cardinals, which was amazing. Don't get me wrong. Love it. Getting goosebumps thinking about it. It was his absolute bomb off of Gerrit Cole. Yeah, Gerrit Cole, the guy who signed the mega deal with the New York Yankees, who was elite, one of the top three pitchers in baseball, and was great that year. He was probably the fourth or fifth best pitcher in the National League that year. He comes in trying, it was a 2-1 count, I believe, tries a little slide piece on Schwarber, and Schwarber just said, see ya, absolute missile. The ball was still rising as it was going into the river. They said 450, BS. You know what's going to hit thing? Everyone's all obsessed with StatCast and everything, and I'm a big fan of StatCast. I'm a big fan of sabermetrics and all the new information, because as a fan, why not take in all the information? Just the more information, the better. Why not? How you want to use it and what you want to apply to it, that's up to you. Makes it fun. I think a decade from now, we're going to find out StatCast was wrong in a lot of things, because there are some balls where I'm like, that clearly went farther than it did. And I'll never forgive TBS for not having a camera on the river. That was a regular season Pittsburgh Pirates game against whoever. There's a camera on the river. TBS did not do it. Makes me think of that scene in The Departed when he's yelling at the FBI guy who set up the cameras when that one drug deal was going down, or the deal for the microprocessors. I just watched The Departed recently, guys. It's in my head. And Alec Baldwin starts to like fight the guy. He's like, how do you not set up a camera there? That's how I felt watching that game, because I wanted to see it. I'm like, that ball was in the river. That ball was in the river. That's why I was yelling at the bar I was at, jumping on people, high-fiving. And then I'm like, let's see the replay. I want to see that kerplunk. Because I thought to myself, if there were people kayaking, oh, their lives are in danger. There would be a tidal wave. That ball was hit so hard. But there was no camera. There's how TBS. TBS, very funny. But guess what? That wasn't very funny. That was horrible. Still bothers me. But I'm telling you right now, I am so excited to see the standing ovation that both John Lester and Kyle Schwarber are going to receive. And I'm sure the Cubs have something queued up for the video board, that big board in left center, a nice montage of career highlights and the impact they had on this franchise over the last six seasons. I love them both. To me, they're forever Cubs. What I mean by forever Cubs, I'm talking about players whose name you could wear on their back forever. 10 years from now, you could walk into Wrigley with a Lester jersey on and nobody's going to be like, get a new jersey. No, they're going to be like, it's John Lester. That's Big John. That's Kyle. We were wearing a Kyle Schwarber number 12. That's awesome. Love that guy. Miss that guy. Like, that's, I wish the two of them nothing but success. Any former Cubs who bring me that much joy, unless they, you know, talk trash on the way out or something like Ryan Terrio did famously, I'm going to always root for you. So I hope Cubs fans really, really make it loud for them. They really do. And everyone, that's been the podcast. You're going to be hearing me all week long, 5 days a week. Locked On Cubs. Follow Locked On Cubs at Locked On Cubs on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Joe Kilgallen. Feel free to check out joekilgallen.com for any dates. I perform regularly all around Chicago. And we'll be going back on tour, traveling across this great country of ours, doing shows from coast to coast. And maybe you could check one out and we could talk Cubs. What do you say? And as always, I'd like to end by saying, go Cubs. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.